Okay. All right. Good morning, and God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We could say amen after hearing those wonderful songs and seeing how obviously the theme of today is loving God. And my title is How Do We Love God With Our Whole Being? And this Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And it's very interesting that every word that God has prepared in his word has significance. Now, this is written to the Pharisees were talking to Jesus, and they wanted to trick him. So one scribe realized that he was teaching the truth, and he said, what is the greatest commandment? And this was the greatest commandment. And love is the thing that changes the world. And before I get started, I wanted to welcome all those that are on the conference call. And 2 weeks ago, I had my 50th high school reunion, and I was so excited about it. And Bob actually said he was kind of surprised I was so excited, because at the 40th, I really didn't remember a whole lot of people. But this one, I knew that God had someone there that I could connect with. And it was the senior class president, Lee Ewan, and his wife, Terry. And we have reconnected. Their story about receiving Jesus Christ as Lord happened about the same time that I did. And they live in Palm Desert. And we're planning on being on today. So I'm not sure if they are, but they'll listen to it. If not, the fellowship later. But God always answers our prayers. The problem is we forget to ask. Sometimes we make it so complicated, like that word, the song says, but everything is so simple. Love God and love people. And how do we love people? Well, we have a Christ in us. We love as Jesus Christ did, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. But welcome all of you on the conference call and you here today, because if you weren't here and those smiling faces, it would be disappointing. But you know what? Even if it's one person, and even if it's just me speaking the word has power. The love of God is one of the greatest subjects in the Word of God, and my favorite, because you can't talk about the agape love without witnessing our wonderful Heavenly Father, and that was one of the reasons I had that Don Lowen song, God is Good, all the time. Because if he had a body, he doesn't, because he's spirit. Love would be oozing out of him. And you may have experienced how contagious love is. When someone loves you, you just want to stay around that person. You want to just draw from them, and you want time to stop. Well, our wonderful Heavenly Father loves us so much that he's desiring every moment of our lives to recognize him so that we can be blessed, because love is all about blessings. And never about anything that's not. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to start there. And 1 John, the epistles of John or 1 John is especially about fellowship. And I encourage you to read 1 John this morning, because there's a lot this week. There's a lot about love, how we love. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 21, and I'm going to use the New King James Version. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, in man's day, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus was, so are we. It's that same spirit that's within us. So no one can deny His life is about love, right? And that's what our lives are all about. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Our lives have been transformed by the love of God. This is very evident in these verses that once we become born again, God makes his habitation in us, not in a building made with stone. And it has given us a command to love God and love one another. His love is perfected in us that we have boldness because as Jesus Christ was, so are we in this world. God dwelt in Jesus Christ, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory. As Jesus represented the Father, we represent the Son, our Lord and Savior. We are a new creation in Christ. We can do the works that Jesus did and greater works, leading one to a new birth. John 14:12. Love for his Father was his motivator, and it should be ours as well. And how can you not love someone that is all love? And that from the very beginning chose us before the foundation of the world. That was in the manifestations as well. We need to be reminded of that. We are his masterpiece. And what the world's trying to do now is trying to stump out God, trying to get people to think there's something missing in their lives. So now they're going to change their sex. They're going to change things that God called them. He made them. It says he formed them in the mother's womb. So do you think that's going to help someone? The only thing that's going to help someone is the love of God, showing them that we have a good Father, right? Right. So we need to show people the love of God so that all this evil that the adversary is doing to hurt children especially can be stopped. Jesus Christ is our example of how to love. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Kind of a summary of his life. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He walked in compassion and looked at all men as sheep needing a shepherd, always doing the will of his Father. We receive that Holy Spirit when we got born again. And we can walk by the Spirit, operating all nine manifestations of the Spirit. And I was so blessed yesterday. Dan called me yesterday afternoon, and he was so excited. He had gone bike riding in Imperial Beach and passed this couple. And he'll probably share the story a little bit later. But he passed this couple, and God told him, go back. And then he said exactly what God told him to do. Don't jump. God's got a better plan for you. And this couple said, you don't know what this time your timing is. I've never experienced God like that before. And Dan was riding his bicycle, and then God told him to come back. But he was arguing with God, saying, no, those, they're okay. But then he realized you can't argue with God. When God has something for you to do, you know you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So he went back, and that's what happened. And we hope one of these days they'll come. We thought maybe they'd come today, and that's Amber and Robert. So we can pray for them. But God's always talking to us. He wants us to help his people. God's will is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Not just, he wants them to have eternal life, yes. But he wants them to enjoy, it's like Christmas, enjoy every perfect gift that he's given. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He can't change his mind. Love has no area, gray area. It's perfect. So let's Mark 12. We'll go into this. And the thing I am excited about is the words that Jesus used, because he basically explains the whole body, our whole being. We are to love God with our whole heart. And Mark 12, 29, we're going to start in 29 through 31. And one of the scribes asked him the first commandment of all. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The whole Old Testament can be summed up with this simple command, love God, love one another. It's that simple. You're not going to hurt someone if you're loving them. The law was never meant to redeem people. It was given to introduce us to the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through the Son. Right? Man can never be perfect. That's why we needed a Savior to bring us back to the Father. It was always God's plan to have a loving relationship with his creation, but disobedience brought sin into the world. The love of God is more than an emotion. It's a decision of the will to act in light of a deep, abiding concern and affection for the object of our love. Loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength is a lifetime pursuit. It doesn't just happen overnight. It starts with developing a relationship. I think many Christians have crushes on Jesus, on our Heavenly Father. What do I mean by that? A crush is an admiration for someone, sometimes secretly, without developing a relationship. You know, we have crushes when we're in junior high and high school, because we don't know if that person's going to like us. So we just kind of keep it secret. But someone might say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't know what a loving Heavenly Father is. Or they don't know if they're actually born again. You know, if you have a love for God Almighty, you're going to know you have eternal life. So we don't want people to have crushes. We want them to have a lifetime of a relationship, intimate relationship with him. I knew who God was when I was growing up, and Mary and all the saints, but didn't know who Jesus Christ was. And he is the crux of all Christianity, so that we can know the Father. But the truth is, Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. And that's another thing people don't know. They think if they do their duty of man, then they know God, or they're baptized when they're a baby, that they're born again. That's not the truth. It's a relationship. We have to make that choice, make Jesus Lord of our lives. Let's look at John 17:3. What about this relationship that we have, this love relationship? Well, I can document it. John 17:3 says, And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I always thought eternal life was a measure of time. It's really a relationship, a love relationship that will last for all eternity. And that word know is the Greek word gnosko, meaning an intimate relationship. The most intimate relationship we have as human beings is a husband and a wife. Well, God knows even what we're thinking about, even greater. He knows us in spite of ourselves, loves us in spite of ourselves, and seeks our fellowship. And we need to run to him with that love. So we need to develop an intimate relationship with him and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when we know the Lord, then we know what love really is about, because we can't see God. And as we saw in 1 John, we need to love the brethren. That's how we express that love. We act as Jesus Christ did. So how do we develop an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with God and His Son, our Lord? We identify who God is. Jesus revealed Him as the Father, and we become sons of God when we get born again. We actually are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's our big brother, our Savior, Redeemer, our friend, our advocate, on and on and on. But for many, God has been made out to be a bully, one who requires works to be approved, one who is unpredictable in healing, in answering prayers, in hearing our prayers, unapproachable. But is that the truth? No. But God Almighty loved us first, not because we earned His love, but because love is His nature, who He is. He wants fellowship with us. Prayer is practicing His presence, not an obligation to repeat words, but talking to Him and listening to His response. Spending time in God's Word and loving others unconditionally will build a pursuit of loving Him. And I'm here to tell you that He is a good, good Father. All the time He is good. He is perfect love and cannot deliver anything but that. He cannot change His mind. He is our Abba, which is an intimate, very intimate name a child would call his father or even daddy. It means He is ever present in our lives. We do not want to wait for challenges in our lives to pursue God. Sometimes people, they're on their deathbed, they finally realize, oh, I need God. We have a whole lifetime to enjoy His presence. All we need to do is commit to Him. He's committed to us by giving His Son the greatest price He could. We want to live in hope. We want to live in love, never in fear. We want to live in forgiveness, never in bitterness. We want to ask and expect to receive. We must seek the Word, and we will find His grace and goodness. We must knock and come boldly into our Abba's throne of grace and fellowship with Him 24/7. Loving God motivates our every decision and empowers our very lives. Our heart is the center of our physical and spiritual life. It encompasses our will, reason, emotions, desires, affections. It is where we believe. Romans 10:9 says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." The soul is literally the breath of life which God breathed into man, making him a living being. Our mind is the faculty of understanding, what enables us to imagine and think and reason, to make choices. We have to watch what we think about, right? Our strength is the ability, force, or power we exert in loving God. So we want to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, and our strength. That means our whole lives. Basically, love God and love His people. We are not to love God with only part of ourselves, but are to measure every thought, emotion, feeling, word, and action in light of our desire to please and honor Him. Just everything that we do. And we can think about what we're thinking about before we say it so that we can actually correct if something we're thinking about isn't correct, if it isn't what God would want us to say. We need to love one another as God loved that person. Not thinking, well, what a bobblehead or whatever that person is. You know, that's not what God wants. Love is seeing the very best in each other, making a commitment to love. We are to pursue our love for Him in every aspect of daily life. Take Him to work with you. I used to do that when I was an accountant. There are things that I didn't understand. I said, okay, God, show me. Within moments, He would reveal the things. Share this incident. When I was young, my dad was an accountant. When I was young, I always wanted to be an accountant. And because he helped my uncle, who was having problems, he couldn't take the CPA exam. So he never became a full accountant, CPA. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to become a CPA, and we're going to have this accounting firm, Evans & Evans. And I'm going to really bless my dad. Well, when I was 19, I asked God, show me the truth. And I ended up in a fellowship, and met my wonderful husband, Bob Lumfeld. We weren't married at the time. I met Bob, and my course changed in life. I no longer continued in school, and he was a pastor, and I became a pastor's wife, and my whole desire for what I wanted to pursue changed. And a while ago, I was thinking about, sometimes we have to give up things for God. But is that true? So I always thought I wanted to be about my Father's business, and God told me, you have been all this time. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to love God and help people. And I just didn't realize which father I was seeking to be, what business to be in. And as Daniel shared a while ago, God is in the details, all the details that brought me to that point in knowing God and being able to be an accountant for 30-some years. And I was a very good one. In fact, all my bosses were men, and they'd say, accountants should always be women, because we had that logic. And I had one boss that he just started his business. He wanted this beautiful red cherry wood desk and on shelves, bookcase and everything. And I said, you can't have that. It's way too expensive. And he was like a little boy just pouting over it because it was too much money. But you know what? God has a purpose for each one of us. And it's just amazing how if we will open our eyes to see what he wants, we will have it. So what does a wholehearted love for God look like? Here are four practical ways of loving God according to the scriptures. If you want to love God, we must love him exclusively. No other gods can have our attention. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. Jesus' words in Matthew 6 are the context of money and wealth, perhaps because he knew the hearts of the listeners. The religious leaders scoffed at Jesus and rejected him because their desire for power, money, and position overcame their love of God. They didn't care about the love of God. They were ready to stone him, attack him, persecute him, because they didn't like what he was saying, because he was rebuking them. Our hearts must be set only on what delights his heart. Our minds must be anchored only to his words as the final authority. Our souls must be satisfied only what pleases him. Our strength must be spent on what serves him alone, doing his will. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Isn't that wonderful? We are to love God with a love for him greater than any other thing. Sometimes we put other things before God. I could put my husband before God. And tell you, if I put God first and then love my husband second, he would see love oozing out of me too. Love will ooze out of our lives if we put God first. Promise it. Those that you loved, love will be blessed even greater. You know, my dad didn't appreciate what I was doing when I left the church, and yet he saw the love of God. It became very evident. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And I'm going to use the NLT version. It says, we can be sure that we know him if we obey. All right. Well, the third one is, we are to love God with an obedient love. 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Keep it real simple. Live your life as Jesus did, and you will truly love God. And it's not hard. We've been equipped. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. We have the peace. Boy, if you live in peace, it's amazing what your life can do. because there's no torment in that. There's no torment in love. He's equipped us with everything that we need. You know, there will be obstacles in our path, but we have the whole armor of God. We have everything. We have one another. We're part of the one body of Christ. So all we need to do is live our lives as Jesus did. To obey God is to honor him, something we do for the ones we love. Obedience delights God and shows that we have confidence in him. Obedience is the only thing we have to offer God in return for the great love and grace that he has given us. That's all. It's that simple. Amen. Keep it real simple. I love that. I think that's my new motto. I used to think if it's up to me, if it has to be, it's up to me. And I realized that's really wrong. It's up to be. If it's to be, it's up to God and me following his direction. If we love God exclusively with a surpassing love, then obedience naturally follows. And the fourth thing I wanted to bring up was we are to love God with a persevering love, a love that lasts a lifetime, even through trials. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, we have been equipped to go through trials. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. There's a wonderful section here that I want to share that kind of simplifies God's whole heart for us, what he's done for us. Once we learn what God has done for us, we can't but love him and love his people. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5 we're going to look at, and I'm going to look at the NLT again. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith and believing, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." Verse 3, "And we rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation or wholeness. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Isn't that wonderful? Boy, the word just says it all. You know, I could have just said, here, just take a page out of your Bible and read it, and you'll be blessed. And that's what it's all about. If we take the time to really know him, the only way we can know him is through the word, through prayer. Ask him, "Show me how to love." He showed me a lot of this that I've read to you today. Our love for God must endure. It is easy to follow a fellow human whom we can see and touch and hug. It is far more challenging to love a God whom we can't see. Sometimes people can be very honest in trying to help us, but maybe it's God that really needs to be the one that we run to. Perhaps this is why Jesus reminds us to love God with all of our strength. In Romans 8 it says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Strength that only the Spirit of God can provide. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." I can do all things because it's Christ who lives within me. He strengthens me. In Christ we can love the unlovable. So to close, I want to summarize. We love God with all our heart when we love him exclusively, him and him alone. We love God with all of our soul. We find our satisfaction in him more than any other person or thing. We love God with all of our mind when we make decisions to obey his word. We love God with all of our strength when we persevere in the face of every trial with the Spirit of Christ within. Can you see what an exciting life we have to live pursuing our loving Heavenly Father with our whole being? Amen.